Hey guys, this is our third episode together. If you're new here, welcome. My name is Mia, and this is my podcast called My Comfort Show, where I just talk about an episode of Gilmore Girls every week, and I also come up with some ideas for drinks and snacks, treats, desserts, whatever it might be that week that I feel would really go well with that particular episode. So I try to get inspired and bring in some of my, a bit of my like love for cooking and love for trying new things to eat. So that's pretty much what this podcast is. And I think the bottom line is that I want it to be just a really feel-good podcast where hopefully it just brings you some peace and it's enjoyable to listen to. I know it's really enjoyable for me to record this podcast. It's just a really special time for me. And actually, on that note, today is a really special day because this is the first time that I got some emails from my listeners, which is so exciting. I can't even express how special that is just to know that people are actually listening to this. So it's really incredible. And you guys are so sweet. I mean, I'm just completely thrilled that you're enjoying this, because I certainly am. So why not just jump right into it? Of course, today we're going to be talking about the third episode of Gilmore Girls Season 1. It's the episode titled Kill Me Now, and it is, let me just pull it up on my laptop. So the air date was October 19, 2000, so we're getting close to Halloween time, sort of. I like the fall vibes. We're really feeling the fall vibes in this show so far, and I really love it. Meanwhile, where I am right now, it is so hot and humid. It's just like the heart of summer right now for at least the part of the world that I'm in right now. It's kind of nice to watch a show where things are a little bit more cool weather-wise. Let's see. Okay, so I said the air date and the episode name, and why not just jump right into the drink of the week and the treat of the week? I have a little bit of a disclaimer for the treat of the week. You know, sometimes I call it the snack of the week. I think for this particular episode, I'm changing it to treat of the week because it feels more like a dessert that I have in mind, but my disclaimer is the fact that I've been traveling a bit right now, and it's been about a month and a half since I left home to go traveling for the summer, basically because I'm about to start a new job, and this is kind of like the last chance that I get to travel with my family for a long period of time, so I haven't been in my own home for almost 2 months now. So because of that, I don't have easy access to ingredients and I'm not really able to cook myself very much. Like I do, but I'm currently visiting my grandparents right now, and just because of their age and their health, they have like a pretty restricted diet, so there aren't really ingredients like sugar or flour or stuff like that around, so I wasn't able to bake anything, even though I really would have loved to. But yeah, that's just kind of where we're at. So for the treat of the week, I'm just going to tell you what I would love to make, which is the blueberry shortcake, which I actually looked it up, and blueberry shortcake does exist. It is a real thing. It's not just something that Suki decided to put together last minute, and it's not really a viable cake that you can make. It is really a real thing, and it looks delicious. I was looking at all these recipes online, and there's some where the cake part is the lemon-based cake, and I feel like that with the blueberries would taste so good. So it's really, I'm putting it on my list for treats / desserts that I would love to bake. And just as I explained, it's not going to work out this week. I can't make it this week, but I think by maybe 2 episodes from now, I will be at home, so I'll be able to actually bake all these things. So keep your ears peeled for that, because it is coming. So, okay, that's the blueberry shortcake. And for the drink of the week, I don't really have a particular inspiration for the drink. It's just what I happen to be drinking right now, which is the Trader Joe's well-rested herbal tea. It's caffeine-free. I think it has chamomile and peppermint. It's really relaxing, and I love it. And maybe, you know, it feels good to drink this maybe while watching this episode, because in general, it is really relaxing to watch this show. And this is the kind of tea that you would drink before going to bed, because there's no caffeine or anything. So it's just perfect. So that's what I'm drinking today. And of course, I say this every week, but if you have your own recipes that were inspired by this episode, you know, maybe you did go out and make that blueberry shortcake, or maybe you made a strawberry shortcake, or I don't know, anything. Maybe, I was thinking maybe you could make an Arnold, I can't even say it, Arnold Palmer, because I know that that's a really popular cold drink. I think it's iced tea and lemonade. And I know that the namesake for that drink, he was a golfer, which is kind of perfect because this episode is quite centered around golf. If you have your own recipes, please share them with me. You can always email me at mycomfortshow@gmail.com, and I would love to know what you were inspired by and what you created yourself. So before I jump into the episode summary, I would like to give just a leaving off point in terms of, you know, where did we leave off last episode. So if you remember, Rory had her first day at Chilton, and Lorelai was really frustrated with Emily for buying things for Rory and doing all these things for Rory, basically behind Lorelai's back, without telling her in advance. So I guess it's not really behind her back if you do eventually tell her, but the point is, I think Lorelai was feeling like Emily was really overstepping her bounds and just kind of taking over the mother-daughter relationship that Lorelai has with Rory. So that was a bit of tension there. But now that we kind of have that fresh in our mind, we can go right into the episode summary. So this episode starts out with the weekly dinner at the grandparents' home. And there's this funny little like background joke going on of the fact that Emily and Richard, which are Rory's grandparents' names, by the way, Emily and Richard, they have trouble keeping track of the names of the house workers in their home, which it just shows that they don't even take the time to learn their names. Or maybe it's also the fact that they're just sifting through these workers, just hiring and firing them just within days of each other, so there's so many that they can't keep track. It was kind of an interesting dynamic to watch there, but that's also where we learn that Rory has to pick a team sport as part of the fitness requirement at Chilton, and she mentioned basketball, lacrosse, swimming, track, and golf, which are, I feel like golf really stands out. I mean, in my high school, we had all of those except for golf. Yeah, I think, unless I just wasn't aware of it. But what about you guys? Did you have a fitness requirement? I think everyone does. I always chose something like yoga, and I think I might have done badminton one time, which was so much fun. Oh my gosh. It's always cool to just try something new. But anyway, getting back to this, when Rory is listing off these sports that she can choose from, Emily just perks up when she hears golf, because Richard plays golf on Sundays at the country club, and he could teach Rory. So she kind of sees this as an opportunity for Rory to bond with her grandfather. And she also mentions that Lorelai has her own golf clubs from when she was Rory's age, and she was kind of like, oh, they're dusting in the attic somewhere. So it's clear that maybe Emily tried to push this golf thing onto Lorelai when she was a kid, but Lorelai just wasn't into it. But now maybe she has another opportunity in Rory, you know, so that was kind of an interesting thing to see there. And with that, Lorelai gets upset and she kind of pulls Emily over into a separate room, and she's telling her mother, she's like, don't force my kid into a sport. Like, she doesn't want to go and dad doesn't want to take her. And it seemed pretty clear that Richard was just not into it. He was very much like, no, she won't enjoy it. He really was not enthusiastic about the idea. And Emily says that she thinks Lorelai is upset because she's just simply just scared that Rory is going to have a good time without her. And she says that that's a bit controlling of her to make these decisions for her daughter. Like, you know, why doesn't she just go try it and see how she feels? There's no reason for Lorelai to be so controlling in that way, where she's just shutting it down without even giving her daughter the chance. So, and then of course Lorelai points out that Emily is also being very controlling in the fact that she's sort of setting up this situation. And then also the fact that Emily was very controlling to her own daughter when Lorelai was Rory's age. So this is kind of a moment where Emily and Lorelai realize, oh, we're actually maybe more alike than we realized, or more alike than we thought. And ultimately, Emily kind of wins that discussion, and Rory is going on Sunday to the country club. So, also, I just wanted to mention that I really love the little lights on the trees outside of the grandparents' home. They were so pretty. Oh my gosh, they were just these really cute little twinkly lights. They were so pretty. So anyway, the next day, Lorelai is at the Independence Inn, and she's setting up for a big wedding that is happening that week, and this is kind of the big event of the week for her. You can tell that she was preparing very, very much for this. She thought everything through. It turns out that it's actually two sets of twins that are getting married to each other, which is kind of strange, but I don't know, I guess it happens. And the female twins, their mother is just really fed up with them because they can't agree on anything. They can't decide on anything. For example, they both wanted different colored decorations, and then Lorelai ended up compromising. I mean, that's what you always have to do, right? You always find a compromise. And Lorelai was able to compromise by choosing purple decorations and putting the tulle everywhere. It's this beautiful shade of lilac purple everywhere. It's very nice. But yeah, so the mother of these twins, she's just so annoyed. Like, she keeps saying that her daughters are spoiled and the fact that they won't move away, so she just feels totally trapped. But nevertheless, Lorelai is able to calm her down and assure her that everything is under control and everything will go smoothly. Now, meanwhile, we're back at the mansion, the grandparents' mansion. I have to figure out what I want to call that mansion. Maybe just the mansion. But it's 8 a.m. and Rory is running late to meet up with her grandfather because it's Sunday, so it's the day where she has to go golfing with him at the country club. And before Rory shows up, there's just a quick conversation between Richard and Emily where they're both kind of preparing. Emily is helping her husband set up the golfing equipment and all of that. And meanwhile, Richard is saying, oh, this is absurd. I don't know why you thought it would be a good idea. She would rather be at the mall. She's a kid. And he also said that he doesn't want to have lunch with her. It's just going to be golf and that's it. He really just wants to do the bare minimum. And it's really sad. I mean, it really breaks my heart that he doesn't want to spend time with his granddaughter. And I don't think it's coming from a place of hatred or, you know, it's not that he doesn't like his granddaughter. He just doesn't know her. I think it's just that unknown factor and then not wanting to get out of his comfortable kind of bubble. It's just really hard for him, but it is sad ultimately. And I guess on the bright side, Rory doesn't realize that he is so reluctant. But anyway, so poor Emily, because she just wants to get them to bond, and she's really trying to get her husband to warm up to the idea more. And she says she wants it to be a really memorable day for Rory. She wants him to take Rory around at the club, show her off. I mean, sure, maybe Emily has her own motives of maybe she wants the other couples at the country club to kind of look at them with a slightly higher status now that they have this granddaughter who is so incredible and smart. So then Rory comes in, she arrives, and then right before Richard and Rory leave, Emily gives Rory a golfing hat, and it's like a multicolored golfing hat. It's not the prettiest hat. It's a statement hat. We'll just call it that. But yeah. And it's sweet because the moment after they leave, Emily just has the house to herself, and she just kind of takes a sigh of relief, and you can tell she's just glad to have a moment of peace to herself. So now that we're at the club, right, the next scene, we're watching Richard and Rory walking together on the grounds of the country club, and they are starting to bond a little bit. They're having some conversation, and he's explaining that this is a very exclusive club. You get the sense that it's a very high society, upper class place, and he says that big business and finance deals were made over games of golf at this club. So, I mean, that's, I feel like in this scene, I was just thinking of other shows like The OC or Gossip Girl, where there's just this very high class group of people and very wealthy group of people who just make business deals over lunch or over golf. So that was kind of an interesting tie-in to see that. And once they actually start golfing, he's teaching her how to swing the club and all of that. And she ends up hitting a chunk of grass. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. Just like this big chunk of grass that just flops down. But you can tell, though, that Richard is just getting a bit embarrassed, and really, she's the youngest person at this place by a long shot, and it's really sweet to see him with his granddaughter at the club, but at the same time, she's new to the sport. She's maybe a little bit, the fact that she's not good at the sport maybe comes across as childish or maybe a bit embarrassing for him. So, I can kind of imagine maybe that it's just a tough situation for him. But a little bit later, I think we get the impression that Rory is really improving, and after they play golf a little bit more, they are walking around the grounds, and they're really bonding over the beauty of the grounds, and it is really beautiful, very serene place. I think they use the word serene, which is a good way to describe it. Like, it really didn't look overcrowded at all. If anything, it looked a little bit empty, but I think maybe that lends to the vibe of it being very exclusive. So it was seemed like a very calm place to be, and he's explaining what his job is. So he's the vice president of an insurance corporation, and Rory asks him, what does that mean? What do you do at your job? And he says, oh, it would probably bore you. But then he realizes that she's actually interested, and that's kind of the turning point for him, I think, where he realizes she's not the kind of girl who likes to go to the mall. I mean, I don't know, maybe she does. We don't know that yet. We don't really know much about her yet, but she's more bookish. But then she's also genuinely interested in getting to know her grandfather, and he picks up on that, and so he's able to explain in more detail what his job entails, and he mentions that he gets to travel around a lot for business, and that really strikes a chord with Rory because she also would love to travel. It doesn't seem like she really has had the chance to travel the world in her life, but that is a dream of hers, and she wants to go to Paris, London, Prague, Istanbul, and Fez, which is really cute because I'm currently in Istanbul right now visiting family, so I was like, oh my God. But it is a really incredible place, so I don't blame her. And she also mentions that she has this plan with Lorelai that she wants to go backpacking through Europe after she graduates high school. And it's all very sweet, and we also get the sense that Rory is just one of the few people at the club that Richard actually enjoys talking to, because there are some other people that sort of pass them by on the path. And they seem very fake. I mean, they're, I guess, the kind of people where you just smile at them, you kind of make small talk, and then when they leave, Richard immediately is like the most odious woman alive. Immediately, you can tell that these people are fake, and maybe that is just kind of how it is at these clubs. Not everybody gets along. Maybe everybody's kind of talking about money, and everyone has their own personal problems that people like to gossip about. So, naturally, nobody there is really going to be your friend if everyone's just gossiping about you behind your back. So I think because of that, he really enjoys having Rory there because she's really down to earth and they can talk about things without being fake with each other. And then they go into their separate steam rooms, and the first time I was watching this, I was like, where are they going? Because it looked like they were going into bathrooms because it was separated by men and women. And he said, I'll meet you back here in 40 minutes. I was like, oh my gosh, why 40 minutes? What are they doing? But I realized then that it's actually steam rooms, and it makes perfect sense that the steam rooms would be separated by gender as well. So, and the steam room scenes were actually really interesting. I almost thought that they were going to take it even further. I mean, it is still just the fact that the women were gossiping about each other, which I was just mentioning earlier, gossiping about husbands cheating on their wives, and then meanwhile in the men's room, it's these older men talking about how their granddaughters are really rebellious and just they don't get along with their granddaughters for that reason, and they hinted at the fact that their grandchildren are stealing their money or taking their money. So it is a really strong contrast, and yeah, I did sort of think they were going to take it a step further, I guess. I thought maybe that some of the women or men in the steam rooms would say something about the Gilmore family, and I was a little bit nervous, but nothing really came of it. They were just gossiping about other people. But still, I mean, that's also, it serves as an interesting contrast because, for example, when Richard is overhearing all this negative talk about these other families of the other men in the steam room, he realizes my granddaughter and I get along so well, and he feels really proud of her and proud of their connection. And so he even tells the other men in the steam room, he says, she has an excellent GPA, she's doing great, she wants to travel the world, she has these big dreams. And he impresses the other guys there, which again is another step forward for him. I think you can really see that he's very proud of her. And that isn't to say that the other grandchildren, you know, just because you're rebellious or you get tattoos, that doesn't mean that you're a bad granddaughter, right? But I think the point that the show was trying to make was that maybe the youngest generation at that time was just so different from their grandparents, and so it is really hard to bond when you're so different from each other. But somehow Rory is maybe a bit more of an old soul, and so she is able to bond with her grandfather. And so I don't think there was necessarily any bad connotation there. So I'll continue on with Rory and Richard's storyline, and then I'll get back to what Lorelai was up to. But now we are, so after they go to their steam rooms, they go to lunch together. Again, this is like another step up. This is fantastic because Richard was saying earlier that he didn't want to get lunch with Rory, and now they're having lunch, so it's just wonderful. And what's really funny to me was that at lunch, Rory was relaying all of the gossip to Richard, and she's just immediately spilling all the tea about what the ladies in the steam room were saying. I don't know if it's such a good thing to do, but it's funny to watch. And while they're talking, the men from the steam room from earlier, they sit down at the table and they want to meet Rory in person because they heard such great things about her from Richard just a few minutes earlier. And they're saying that they're really impressed with her 4.0 GPA, which is amazing. And Richard very sweetly says that Rory is going to Fez someday, which just really warmed my heart because it no longer sounds like a dream. You know, he didn't say she's hoping to go to Fez someday or she has a dream of going to Fez. He says she's going to Fez, and it sounds like a reality, and it's very, very special. Now, let's see. So now I think we can go back to Lorelai at the inn where she's preparing for the wedding. And this is the scene with the blueberry shortcake. So I'll call it maybe the blueberry shortcake's origin story, because this is where Suki's in the kitchen at the inn. And unfortunately, Jackson's strawberries are no good. Maybe just the batch was not very good. They weren't flavorful. I forget exactly what he said, but he brought blueberries instead to make up for it. And Suki is just starting to panic because she wants to make strawberry shortcake, and she has to make it for hundreds of people. I mean, this is a wedding, and it's a huge operation, and this is when she decides she has to make blueberry shortcake instead, because that's all she has at the moment. And honestly, it still sounds pretty good. it really does. I'm sure it was delicious. And there's also, back at the exterior of the inn, in the sort of garden area that surrounds it, where the wedding is going to take place, there are some swans being delivered, and Michelle is very reluctantly helping move them to the pond area, which I didn't know there was a pond at the inn. I'm not sure if we see it, but that seems like a really nice addition. And there's also Drella, who's setting up her harp so she can play music during the wedding. A little bit later that day, Rory has come back from the day at the country club, and she is meeting up with Lorelai at Luke's, and they're both catching some dinner and talking about their busy days, because they both have had very busy, kind of out of the ordinary days for them, because Rory has been in a completely new environment and Lorelai has been super busy trying to hold everything together with this wedding. And Lorelai is asking her how the golfing went, and she's expecting a negative response. I mean, she doesn't expect Rory to have enjoyed it, and she even brought some of Suki's chocolate cake, so I assume maybe Suki made chocolate cake and blueberry shortcake, or maybe she didn't end up making the blueberry shortcake at all. I'm not sure. Maybe she made multiple things, but Lorelai brought back some chocolate cake for Rory because she was like, you know, here's some cake that will make you feel better after what she assumes was a horrible day. But she's completely shocked to realize that Rory actually had fun. And on top of that, she's also really shocked that Rory had lunch there, because Lorelai knew that Richard was not looking forward to a lunch and he was very much against it. But somehow Rory and Richard were able to bond and enjoy each other's company enough to the point where they actually got lunch together and went to the steam room and all of those things and really enjoyed themselves. So it's tough for Lorelai, and I'll get into this a bit more later, but you can tell that she's jealous. I mean, I think in one word, jealousy. Yeah. Now we are at, let's see. Right, so a little bit later, and this is pretty much what I was referring to, is that Lorelai and Rory are on the porch in their house, and it's a really important scene. I mean, this is a very important scene for the plot, just because this is where Lorelai kind of starts to get really, really agitated, and she says that she's just really, really upset that Rory borrowed her favorite sweater without asking. And this is the moment where I was like, is it really about the sweater though? I mean, we know it's about more than the sweater. We can tell where this is going. And Lorelai is saying, you take my sweaters, you wear them, you stretch them out, you take them without asking. And this is just the moment when we all realize it's actually about her father. It's about Richard and the fact that Rory is just building a relationship with Richard that Lorelai maybe never had. And that's just how it is, I guess. Lorelai just wasn't that kind of person. Maybe she wasn't interested in golf, and that's totally fine. Maybe in addition to golf, she was also not interested in his job, and just maybe their personalities didn't match. You know, there's a whole number of reasons why maybe she couldn't get so close to her father, and it's really painful for her to see her own daughter make that connection so easily and really enjoy bonding with him. So it's tough for her, and I think from a psychological point of view, it makes perfect sense. I mean, just, I think the fact that Lorelai's parents were really controlling, very conservative, like not necessarily in the political sense, but just they had a very clear vision for what they wanted for their daughter, and they imposed it upon her, so it was very restricting. And because of that, Lorelai became very rebellious to kind of counteract that and get away from that, and so that's why she wasn't interested in all this kind of high society stuff like country club. And then looking at the relationship between Lorelai and Rory, because Lorelai is so maybe liberated and more rebellious, her daughter takes the opposite of that, because she maybe wants to be her own person, wants to get away from the mold of her mother, so she's maybe a little more conservative. So it just kind of like flip-flops between generations, if that makes sense. That's kind of how I am putting it together in my mind, but I am really curious what you all think. And yeah, so it makes perfect sense why Rory would get along better with her grandparents. You know, I think Lorelai comes to realize that too, because after the wedding, Rory is sitting at the table with the guest books, like the wedding guest books, and I guess Rory's in charge of getting people to sign it and stuff. And Lorelai comes over and she explains that she's just really sorry for making this whole issue, or I guess she's really sorry about bringing up this whole issue about the sweater when it was really about more than that, and she's just a little bit weirded out by the fact that Rory is bonding with her grandparents so well, even though she does see it as a positive thing. I mean, she says she's really glad that Rory's getting along with them so well. It's just weird for her, and she needs to take some time to get used to it, maybe. And she also says that that's the reason why she completely cut off Rory from her grandparents until now, because she just didn't like that kind of life herself. I think she says something like, it never occurred to me that you might want that life. I'm really proud of Lorelai coming to that conclusion. Sometimes with shows, it takes multiple episodes, multiple seasons, and even in life, in real life, it takes a long time for people to come to these realizations of why they're reacting this way to certain events in their life. And I think Lorelai and Rory really have it figured out. I mean, at least for the time being. But I think that maybe is what adds to the comfort of this show for me, is there is this element of, oh, whatever conflict comes up in the episode, it will be resolved, for the most part, by the end of the episode. So it really does give you a sense of feeling comforted, because you have this moment with Rory and her mother, and they're really understanding each other, even though they don't always agree with each other. So it's good to see that. And also, by the way, the wedding looked lovely. It looked like a lot of fun. The band was really good. It was very cute. And I like seeing Miss Patty dancing with I forget who. I know she was dancing with one of the grooms at the wedding rehearsal earlier in the episode, which is very funny. And we close off the episode with our final scene, where it's the next Friday's dinner. So they're at the grandparents' home, and oh yes, okay, so they brought the blueberry shortcake to Emily. So I was wrong earlier. I just completely forgot that they did actually have blueberry shortcake. It wasn't just a concept in the air. It was real. Suki did actually make it. And they bring some home to Emily and Richard. And it's obviously, it's leftovers from the wedding. And Emily, she opens the box and she goes, "Why is it already cut?" She goes, "You brought us used dessert." Yeah, maybe it's not the most elegant of style to bring leftovers to a dinner, but I thought it was very homey, and it feels like this is what Lorelai would do. She would bring leftovers to someone's party, to someone's dinner, to someone else's home. Because if that's all you have, that's all you have. And I'm sure it's delicious, so who cares about how it looks, maybe. And the fact that it's already cut up. So then, once they move inside and they sit down, Emily suggests that Rory gets a membership at the club, because clearly she had such a good time there, and she says she'll have a place to socialize, and that's very important for a young girl. Which, when I was watching that, I almost thought it was a joke. I actually thought it was a joke, because, I mean, she was the youngest person there, and everyone else was her grandfather's age. I mean, sure, you can happily socialize with people who are your grandfather's age, that's totally fine, and she did get along with them fairly well, aside from some of the fake people who were gossiping behind everyone's back. But it seemed like a fairly nice place to socialize, but at the same time, it's just like, these people, she's a young girl at the end of the day, and why would she want to spend the majority of her weekends at a place where everyone is generations and generations older than her? I thought it was very strange. And I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe this country club is actually going to come up in a later episode, and maybe she will actually become a member. Maybe she'll start going there more frequently. Who knows? Maybe there will be younger people there that she can make friends with who are her own age. But otherwise, I thought it was a very strange suggestion for Emily to make. What did you all think about this? Because I really did think it was a joke. I thought Lorelai was going to be like, "What are you talking about?" But I'm not sure. I would love to know what you all thought. And the episode ends with Rory and her grandfather going off to look at his books because he picked out a book that she was interested in. And they go off into his study, maybe his library. And Lorelai is left sitting on the couch all by herself. And it's very classic Gilmore Girls moment where Lorelai is all alone because her daughter has gone off and gone to do her own thing. And this is kind of the moment maybe that Lorelai was dreading a little bit, because her daughter is becoming maybe a little less attached to her, and she's expanding her world. And that's all a good thing. And I think just based on Lorelai's facial expression and just how she was looking, just sitting on the couch by herself, you can tell that she's warming up to it. It's something that happens between every child and their mother. Sometimes they just need to expand their world and go off to make other connections as well, you know? And that's totally normal. It's totally fine. She's still going to have Lorelai. Lorelai is still going to have Rory. And they're still going to have this wonderful relationship with each other. But Rory's growing up, you know? And it's always a little bit bittersweet. I think bittersweet is a good way to sum up that final scene. So I would love to take a little break right here and move on to some extra things, some questions and fun facts that I have about this episode. Okay, welcome back from your break, and my break too. So I was actually looking at the Wikipedia page for this episode, and there was a little section on the Wikipedia page called Reception. So there's just a little like critic review from someone who was rewatching the series and went back to this particular episode, and this is what he said. In these very early episodes, Lorelai and Rory's relationship has a volatility that doesn't really stick around. He explained that the fight between Lorelai and Rory over something minor was a little forced and on the nose. The show is still finding its voice, and its tone feels a touch off at times, although it's also establishing so much of what we know and love about the Stars Hollow universe. Lorelai's stuff at the inn is pleasant, but a bit of a snooze. Rory's plot is more intriguing. And I feel like I agree with everything he said. I did feel like it was an argument or a bit of a conflict about the sweater and how it wasn't really about the sweater. It was about the relationship with the grandfather. And I did feel like that was a little bit forced and on the nose, but I also kind of loved it. It just gave me this classic TV vibe of, oh, this is a big metaphor, it's a symbolism for, it's not just a sweater, you know, it's a symbol that represents something bigger. And I kind of love how on the nose it was, but you can't deny that it was very much on the nose. And again, I feel very new to this show, although I do love it. I feel very new, so I can't really comment on how much this episode fits into the overall arc of the show, because I don't really know what's going to happen. I've watched close to the end of season one by now, but I find that interesting that this critic says that Lorelai and Rory's relationship has a volatility that doesn't really stick around. So I guess this kind of small conflicts here and there, just having minor fights about things, about their relationship, or maybe things going on in their lives, I guess that doesn't really stick around, or maybe their relationship smooths out over time and it doesn't really feel as tumultuous. I don't know. It really doesn't feel too tumultuous. I don't know. I'm not complaining. I don't see it as a negative thing. I actually find it very relatable, which kind of takes me to my next point. I was going to ask you all, do you relate to Lorelai and Rory's relationship? Because this is our third episode. We've seen quite a bit of their relationship so far. I know I definitely feel like I can relate to them, just with my relationship with my mom. And maybe if you have a big sister or something, I could see how Lorelai and Rory's relationship could also maybe be relatable to someone who has a big sister, because I feel like Lorelai is sometimes takes that big sister role, and sometimes you fight, sometimes you get upset at each other, and other times you're, you know, watching TV on the couch together, you're bonding over something, you're getting coffee together. Oh my gosh, that was my grandmother's cat. He's so loud. But yeah, I'm just so curious if you all feel like you can relate to it. I'm sure you can, but I'd love to know. What else? Did I have other questions for today? What did you all think of Lorelai's reaction to Rory just having a good time with her grandfather at the club? I mean, did you feel like it was maybe a little immature of Lorelai to get so upset? I feel like maybe it was slightly immature, but also I can totally see where she's coming from. I mean, it makes perfect sense given her background and where she's coming from. So I'm curious what you all thought. And yeah, I think that was all for my questions. Let me move on to the very last thing, which is the title for next week's episode, which is The Deer Hunters. And this one's a good one as well. I think in terms of how much I enjoyed episode 3, Kill Me Now, I think it might have been my least favorite out of the three that we've watched so far. Because I agree, I think the stuff at the wedding was a little bit weak. It felt like filler. I think a lot of the scenes with the wedding felt like filler. Although it was beautiful to see, just I love watching all the party scenes and all the decorations. It was really fun to watch that. But ultimately, like plot-wise, it didn't do anything. How did you all feel about that? Yeah. That's pretty much it, you guys. I hope you're having a great July. It's really late over here right now, and I'm still finishing up my tea, but it was really good, very relaxing. By next week's episode, I will actually be back at home in New York after a very long vacation, but oh my gosh, it was just a really, really lovely vacation. I had a great time just seeing family and all of that. But also, it feels really good to come back home, especially after a long trip. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And yeah, I will be recording from home. And I'll be able to actually bake something, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. I hope you all have a great evening. Please email me at mycomfortshow@gmail.com, and we can just chat about the episodes together. Bye, guys!